Today I searched again for the heart of the Lord, and I kept hearing dreams and visions. Dreams and visions, dreams and visions. And dreams and visions have been on my mind because a few days back the Lord had me rehearsing and hunting in my notepad from September on through till last week. And I kept hunting for a particular dream that I thought came in November. Come to find out, it came in September. But it was September 29th. Now, the dream is not the focus, but it's to tell you that there are seasons in God that He will release things to you for His own purpose and for His own releasing of information for the future. I did not comprehend the dream at the time that I received it. I shared it with three people. There are times that you will receive information from the Lord and He'll tell you, shot. Got it? You know why? Because it's not the time to release it. Not that it's not a godly piece of information, but there's a season to release. When I was listening to a prophet of the Lord, he's an elder, I don't know exactly how old he is, but I would guess in his 70s, could be a little higher. His name was Bob Jones. I happened to be listening to this on the internet last week. And before I hunted into the dream status, okay? And the excitement came when he made a comment, because this man has prophesied things that go way back to 1977. Well, that's the year I got Spirit-filled, so, you know, I was, my ears were perking, and the prayer group started in 1977. God was manifesting His salvation to both my mom and dad, and the deliverance came from my mom in 1977. So, if you think 1977 doesn't have an impact, I'd have to be completely paralyzed not to have a reaction. So now he goes up and he says to this man on the interview that he's on that 1977 he saw a vision, and he saw in the realm of the spirit, just like Ethan, but he saw the numbers 1977 and the word Ichabod written over it, which means the glory has left. Now, it doesn't mean that God stops His activity when He releases a word of instruction. He was letting him know that the level of the anointing that was in the earth at that time was rejected by the men and women of God. It was rejected because they began to build their own kingdoms rather than build up the kingdom of God. Well, for your information, I've watched how much destruction was done in the body of Christ by disobedient vessels or selfish vessels of the Lord. Thank you. Now, I'm not looking to criticize those who fell, because God knows how to pick them up. Have you ever fallen? Welcome to the club. Thank you. The point is, there's a word that was given to this man, and when he received the word was that, and I don't remember the date, it's either March 11th or February something. Anyway, I believe it was March 11th of last year, and he saw the removal of the word Ichabod, meaning the glory has returned. Okay? Well, that excited me. But then he shattered me in his next comment. He said, God has two calendars for me. Well, how many know that I kind of have a couple of Hebrew calendars and got one from Israel just a few months back? And there's two calendars in my house, and they're right next to my desk. And he says, God uses the years of our Lord with all the months and years that we have used, but he also uses his own calendar that the Jews borrowed. Did you hear? See, it's not the Jewish calendar. It's the calendar of God borrowed by the Jews. They claim it's theirs. God says, it's mine. Okay? So, the Romans have their opinion about when time starts and which day is which and all that good stuff. But the next level, he said, was every year at the Day of Atonement, the Lord releases information for the following year in that time slot. So, my ears were quite perky. And I began to ponder on that information, and I rehearsed it in my heart and said, Lord, you know, this man is, he was also on with another gentleman that I've known for quite a while, and he's from California, and the name is not important. I'm not trying to advertise names. I'm not trying to advertise that I've met these people. But the bottom line is that, you know, the men and women of God are also under appointments by God, just like you are. You're here tonight, not because it's Tuesday night, but you're here because God pulled you in. You may not understand the fullness of it. You may not understand why he wants you to really search for having open visions, like Ethan had, or to see in the realm of the spirit through a vision, or having a dream, and then trying to understand the dream. For it is the glory of kings to search out what God is saying. Are you not kings and priests? Whoops. Some of you are nodding, and some of you are, kings and priests, well, that's what God says you are. Not a spoiled brat, like maybe some people might think about themselves. Now look at your neighbor, say, welcome to the kingly club. And welcome to the priestly club. Now there's men and women in this priesthood. That's right. Now, dreams and visions are provided by God, and they were forecasted by God. So if you want to come with me to Joel chapter 2, we're going to touch a little bit about that, okay? Joel chapter 2 is where we're going. Now, I'm going to kind of touch a few corners, but I'm trying to obey the Lord to give you a little bit of background. In verse 15 of chapter 2, he says, blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, and gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast, and etc., etc., etc. And it gives a lot more information until it says in verse 25, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts, the other locusts and the locust swarms. My great army that I sent among you. Now, how many know those angels were not here just because they want to be? The army of God is angelic as well as natural. And you've got the vision tonight. They were all lined up. You think they went anywhere? They're waiting. You will have plenty to eat until you are full. You will praise the name of the Lord your God. And tonight, two chose to obey. Two pushed in the realm of the Spirit. Two were given songs for us. Two, everything is established in two or three. Thank you. Are you catching on? You will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Did you hear that? So what's the shame coming from? It's not coming from your God. Then you will know that I am in Israel. Where is Israel today? It's the men and women of God that are Israel. That I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be ashamed or shamed. Now, Joel saw this, and he predicted it way before the Lord came. And St. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, quotes from this particular chapter. But I want you to see what the day of the Lord is going to be like. The day of the Lord began 2,000 years ago. We're now in the third day of the Lord. Every year is like 1,000 years, correct? Catching on now, verse 28. And afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Does that mean you have to wait till the old to have a dream? No. It means old in the realm of the spirit. Not necessarily old in the age number that you have. Your young men will see visions. Well, Ethan, guess what? You're right on target. How old are you, Ethan? Almost 13. He's almost a teenager. Pray that he gets there quickly. Amen? Amen. Even on my servants, both men, Denise and? Oh, really? Men and women? Women too? Can you imagine that? Okay. I will pour out my spirit in those days. Doesn't say in the first day only. Doesn't say in the second day only. It says in those days with an S. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Dreadful. But for whom? Dreadful for whom? The unsaved. The unsaved. And everyone who calls on the name of Jesus or the Lord will be saved. So what's the trouble for? What's the hardship for? It is to release salvation. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance. As the Lord has said among the survivors, who the Lord calls. That's the part I want you to see. The survivors whom the Lord calls. So you see, there are times that you're going to see that there's clashes between peoples upon themselves. Are you surprised? No. Because the enemy has always turned upon himself and destroys his own armies. That's how it works. The Philistines began to come against the Israelites. And what happened when the people of God prayed? Well, what happened? They attacked each other. So what are you worried about? What are you doing not praying? One puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000, three puts... Yeah, it's the... What? The exponential multiplication. Now, let's say that we know that there's an army across the street and they have decided that we need to be annihilated. A whole army is screaming out, oh, our God's going to defeat your God. Our God's going to defeat your God. And I could advertise Allah because right now it's popular, right? And they're all screaming out. Three Christians standing in this room. Cancels out how many thousands? Huh? Three Christians cancels out 100,000 of their yellings. Three. Say it's not fair for them, but it's mighty for us. Do you understand? When the body of Christ is together, what happens? It's the multiplication that happens. The multiplications of the visions bring out what? What happens when the multiplications of the visions come? A clearer picture is formed, right? How many like a puzzle with 30 pieces? Well, it's not much of a puzzle, right? If it's only 30 pieces, but what if it's 150 pieces and you've only got 30? No, not much of a picture formed yet. But the bottom line is that if there are 1,000 pieces to your puzzle and you've only got 30, you haven't got a clue of what the picture's going to be, unless it's on the top of the box. Amen? So what am I saying to you? The visions that come, what do? I put them aside. I write them down. What did I do with my dream? I wrote them down. I have several dreams that came, and as I've studied all these dreams now for the past 6 months, and I said to the Lord, wow, this is awesome. And I got excited. And I told Peggy, I said, I need to have you in my office Sunday morning. And I shared with her something that coordinated with what God showed her. So you see, you might think, oh, well, you know, I got this little thing in my heart. And I don't think like, well, I saw three halos, and it's only for three people, and there was one that's left out, so I'm not going to tell anybody. Right, Ethan? That's what you felt after you spoke it, yes. Who is attacking and yelling at you? Somebody's trying to steal it. Somebody's trying to stop you. Zachary, what did you learn today? There's a little tiny... Amen. So he's had a little tiny devil bugging him. Okay? And that's all it is. It's no big deal. Right, Mary? One little tiny devil can really kind of create a problem in your heart, can't it? Just one. We're not talking about 1,000 of them. Just one. Do you ever have one sit on your shoulder and lie to you about somebody? And he's bugging you and bugging you and bugging you and you didn't say a word? What's wrong with that? You're supposed to respond with the sword of the Spirit. Ask for dreams. Ask for visions. Get jealous for the things of God. Get jealous for the things of the Holy Ghost. If you settle it, sit there and say, well, somebody else will get it. Yeah, and they're going to run with it and leave you in the dust. You see, it's up to you to get hungry for the things of God. And I can remember when people would have different things when I first got more, you know, filled with the Spirit. I mean, I drove my poor buddy up a tree. He went up to Calvary many, many times because of my irritating him. Okay? Because I could not get enough. And you know, I've shared this, well, quite a few times. I don't know if I've shared it with all of you, but this one time I went to a Holy Ghost retreat. It was my first Holy Ghost retreat. Okay? That means that the man who was leading the retreat, it was at Our Lady of Sorrows. I had been there for 10 years in a row, searching for the Lord. But it was always very somber and very low-key. But this time, guess what? It was Holy Ghost fire in that place. And the Spirit of God was in the place. It was awesome. And the anointing of God was in this whole book. Well, it was I would call it a mausoleum because the buildings are kind of old, and you know, it was very pretty but very dead most of the time. And you had to bring your own life in there. And this time, there was many living, alive believers in there, and it was awesome. And I came home from that retreat weekend. I had gone Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Came home Sunday afternoon. I walked into Carol and Ray's house, apartment upstairs in my building, and there were quite a few Christians there, and I am on fire. I mean, literally on fire. I am so excited about what God has done, and he's brought this thing out, and he's done this, and he's done that. And one of the ladies said to my wife, you know, he'll come back to normal someday, and I heard her. And I looked her straight in the face, and I said, young woman, I rebuke you. I will never shut up. In fact, I'm going to get better than this. And she looked at me and she was offended. I said, you can be offended all you want. You offended the Spirit of God. I'm on fire because God did miracles and I want you to get jealous. She walked out of the apartment and I never saw her again. Why? Why? Was I so special? Well, I was special because God had touched my life. And if you had been through what I had been through, and had watched what God had done inside of me, cleaning up my heart, I had a reason to get happy. And I wasn't going to let go or anybody step on my parade. Did you ever have somebody step on your parade? How many have ever had somebody just stomp on them? And did you respond? How many responded? Wave your hand if you responded. Come on. Those of you who didn't respond, you let them have their way. Unless you speak, they are authorized to continue the destruction. And you may think, well, I would have offended them. I'll tell you, you would have offended the enemy. Because your battle is not against flesh and blood. It is against principalities and powers using people. Okay? And there is a time to say, I don't agree. And there's a time to say, lady, gentlemen, I'm not in agreement with you. You're not going to shut me down. You're not going to stop me from rejoicing in what God has done in me and in those that I love. Don't let somebody rob you of your joy. Amen? If you've had a dream and you share it with somebody and they happen to be down on it, well, shut up next time. Don't share it with them. Because they're going to what? They're going to what?
Stifle. I'm
come on, they're going to what?
Stifle it. They're going to stifle your vision.
They're going to fight. What else?
Bring you down.
They're going to bring you down. What else?
Anger.
Huh?
They're going to hate you.
They're going to hate you for it.
And they're going to gossip about you.
And they're going to gossip about you. How many have experienced a few of these goodies? All right, there you go. There you go. See, look at what you're learning now. What are you learning? There's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet. There's a time to receive a vision. There's a time to speak about the vision. But there's also a time to holding the vision. You need to hold on to something sometimes. Now, you know, when that dream came, I said, Lord, this seems to indicate something. But I wasn't sure. And I shared it with Bob. And I said, please pray. And then I shared it with Peggy because it was important that I had somebody knowing. But you see, they didn't laugh. They said, we don't quite understand. And I remember repeating the dream to Bob just maybe a week ago when we were alone together. And he says, Kim, there's a word in there. One word. He says, it seems to be important. And I said, gee, you're right. That one word and that one particular part of action doesn't seem to be like you would normally do something. But all of a sudden, like, well, let's say if the dream is about you having your dinner and you start with ice cream and cake, that would be kind of odd if you started with ice cream and cake. Why should you start? Well, I know I've done it before, but bottom line, it's not the normal way of putting a meal together. Okay? So there are sometimes keys that are missed, but when you share the dream with someone, they might get a piece to the puzzle that you didn't get. Catching on? And so there's safety in a multiple of counselors. There's safety in a multiple of counselors. That's part of the Proverbs. So there are times that you're going to get something and the Lord will tell you, yes, you've got it, but you don't comprehend it and it's maybe not for now. You want to know where you were flying. But he didn't say you had to know. He held you back. He said, just go. Go do what I'm going to tell you to do and just obey. Now, I'd love to know what's behind those two doors in that mountain. Okay? So pray and let me know. I'm nosy. Got it? Okay. And I'm going to say with Ethan, I'm looking for the day that the aura is on all the people. Okay? But under my normal condition, when I see the aura over someone, it's because the anointing is on them. And it's the Holy Spirit that's literally penetrating and touching them. So they've been chosen to be touched. So that's why I want somebody to sit in the middle. No, I'm teasing. I can understand that the joy of the Lord sometimes is contagious. All right? But I want you to now go with me. One more thing. Notice how many times it says, I will. Verse 29, I will. Verse 28, I will. Verse 30, I will. Okay? It's the Lord that activates the action, not you. Okay? Verse 1 of chapter 3. In those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will enter into judgment against them concerning my inheritance, my people, Israel. For they scattered my people, etc. And it goes on to all the things that he's going to do. Now, I believe that there is one truth that a lot of people get this mindset that has been put into the people of God, and it's a traditional religious way of thinking. And I'd like to erase some of it today. And that is that it creates a mentality of escape. We're all going to be drawn away, and nothing has to be done by you and me, which is not right. The Lord wants you to occupy till he comes. Where is he coming first? How did you get born again? Where did he come first? He starts inside of me. And he works inside of us. He's rebuilding his church right now. Do you see the same things happening in his church that happened in the first century? Do you see people rising out of wheelchairs? What about in every church? How many see some crippled churches? Okay. How many churches are getting people healed and delivered? Very few. What's the problem? Huh?
No belief.
Unbelief. Okay? Unbelief. What does unbelief do? Cancels the ability of people to receive. What is God building in this house of prayer? A unity. A coordinate. So that all will be focused on the Lord and his vision for this church. His dream for this church. I didn't create this church. Peggy and Bob didn't create this church. Jesus did it. He did it because he chose. Out of our brokenness, he brought life. What is he doing? He's building us up to become one people with one heart to serve him. Not to selfishly serve each other, but to serve him. What does he want next? It's up to him. How is he going to bring out the information? By dreams, by visions, by words of knowledge, by multiples of vessels, getting the same pieces to the same puzzle until he forms what he wants. What is it that we're looking for? To obey. Tonight, I compliment you, each one of you, in your obedience. Each one of you who gave out what God gave them. That is what God wants. Sometimes we don't understand. It could be a very small thing, but it's very important to the body of Christ. Every member giving out what they can and what they will. Now, when we got together last Saturday, it was a pleasant time, and I was watching. I was watching the coordinates of the saints. How many saw the harmony of the saints working? It was beautiful. I saw the harmony of the Lord and his anointing coming upon different vessels. And they carried themselves to each other, greeted one another. There was no need for anybody to say, well, you need to be greeters. Everybody was a greeter. Did you notice it? It wasn't, I'm the designated boss here and I'm going to give out. I saw many vessels giving out. And they were giving out a little encouragement here and there to each other. So it was the body feeding the body. And I heard a few comments and some expectations. You see, there's always going to be expectations. But are they God? You might be surprised. What you gave out might be what changed somebody's life. That little word of encouragement might have given them a way to survive for the next few days. That encouragement is a gift from God by you to another member in the body. Dreams, visions, words of knowledge, all those gifts are of the same Holy Ghost for the building up of the church. And what is the church? The manifestation of Jesus Christ. So when the church is fully alive in Christ, you're going to see the dead bodies raised. You're going to see people set free from all kinds of bondage. And you're going to see people being transformed by His Holy Ghost, just like He did in the book of Acts. And even greater, because it'll be multiples of layers. Because there's more of Jesus now than there was when He was here. Did you hear that? Put your hand in the hand of somebody else. Look at that person in the eye and say, there's more of Jesus now when we've gathered together than when we were separate. Now I want you to get up. Put your Bibles down. I want groups of threes. Say, one puts 1,000 to flight.
One puts 1,000 to flight.
Two puts 10,000.
Two puts 10,000.
Watch out for 100,000. Because we're in agreement right now.
Because we're in agreement right now.
In Jesus' precious name.
In Jesus' precious name.
We're asking for blessings tonight.
We're asking for blessings tonight.
Upon the saints of the Most High.
The saints of the Most High.
Those who are in hospitals.
Those who are in hospitals.
Nursing homes.
Nursing homes.
Or even at home.
Or even at home.
Hurting.
Hurting.
Whatever it may be.
Whatever it may be.
Let your angels go there, Lord.
Let your angels go there, Lord.
And bless them today.
Bless them today.
And in the days ahead.
And in the days ahead.
Set them free.
Set them free.
From their hardships.
From their hardships.
And whatever type of deception.
And whatever type of deception.
Clean them up.
Clean them up.
Heal them up.
Heal them up.
And set them free.
Set them free.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
We pray.
We pray.
Did you catch on?
Yes.